Good morning, I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, I am delighted to have the Executive Director of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast with me, Josh Sarampa. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. The Wildlife Center of the North Coast is dear to my heart. This 501c3 nonprofit organization does many things which we'll find out about today for listeners who may not be familiar with it. You have an upcoming Birds of a Feather Spring Festival, May 14 and 15th. And the mission of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast is to promote compassion, empathy, and respect for all life through wildlife rehabilitation, ecological teachings, and wildlife conservation, so needed in the world today. Josh, before we start talking about what the Wildlife Center of the North Coast is, the events coming up, what you all do, the opportunity for volunteers to come and work with you, let's let the listening audience learn a little bit about you, please.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, Donna. And I'm going to apologize ahead of time. I've got a bird in the background that's going to squeak here and there. And my dog, of course, is sitting next to me trying to act up. So I'm Josh Sarampa. I'm the executive director of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. I've been with the organization for about 14 years, started volunteering when I was 16 years old in high school at Astoria High School. And didn't know the first thing about wildlife rehabilitation or what it took to take care of these animals, but of course quickly fell in love with the work and started volunteering all my spare time. And a couple of years later, so when I was 18, I got my wildlife rehab license in the state of Oregon and was working as on a volunteer basis as the founder's kind of assistant rehabilitator. And then the years kind of went on and our founder became ill in 2014, 2015-ish, and passed away end of 2015. And the Wildlife Center Board of Directors appointed me executive director at the time. Of course, I was 23 and didn't know the first thing about running an organization at the time. And now we're seven years later, and we've grown our staff significantly, as well as our operations. So that's my story.
What is it you love the most about the work, Josh?
That's a good question. The work, I love it all. So wildlife rehabilitation in itself is caring for individual animals. I love that we focus our time and a lot of our energy on the individual animal's needs and care, as opposed to always only looking at population and like the big scientific conservation aspects. We do, focus conservation as part of our mission, where we kind of focus energies in other areas. But I think what I love the most is, all these people that come together in our organization, the volunteers and staff alike, that put all of this, put all their effort and time towards helping these single individual animals that have injuries or illnesses.
Okay, for those folks who have not had the opportunity to come out to your facility, which is how many miles outside of Astoria is it?
It's about 9 miles east of Astoria.
9 miles east of Astoria, okay. Let's talk about what the Wildlife Center of the North Coast is. So you have a hospital, you rehabilitate animals. Let's talk about the actual day-to-day organization and what's there when people come to, let's say, the Spring Festival, what they'll find there.
Absolutely, yeah. So the Wildlife Center of the North Coast is a nonprofit, 501c3 wildlife hospital and conservation education center. So what that means, we've been around for 25 years this year. Had to do some quick math there. We were founded in 1997. We sit on about 105 acres out in Olney, so east of Astoria. And we take in injured, orphaned, and sick native wildlife. And our goal is to rehabilitate them, fix them, and release them back to the wild. So we have a state-of-the-art wildlife hospital and clinic on our property. And then we also have our education aspect, where we provide youth summer camps, and other on-site educational opportunities, which means we also have a couple of non-releasable educational ambassador birds that we utilize in our programming to educate the public on conservation issues and you know, just kind of inform people of how cool native wildlife is. So yeah, we're a conservation education facility and wildlife hospital.
Yes, and you work with local veterinarians. You have and you don't just have the hospital. You also have the rehab facilities, especially for the shorebirds. And so maybe explain a little bit about the kinds of birds that you have there.
Yeah, so we do all native birds and most native mammals. So we do about 1,000 animals a year. When I say we do about 1,000 animals a year, we intake about 1,000 animals a year for rehabilitation. And we specialize in seabirds. We're the only seabird facility in all of Oregon. We're also the only wildlife rehabilitation facility on the Oregon coast. So we cover a large geographic zone from as far north as Astoria and south as far as Newport, Oregon, and further south if we can find the volunteer support to get the animals to us. But yeah, we get in everything from bald eagles down to hummingbirds, your little bird feeder birds, sparrows and finches, hawks, owls. And then we also do the, when they come in, we do some mammals as well. So the biggest mammals we do are like bobcats. And then we do, all the way down to chipmunks, squirrels, bunnies, beavers, porcupines, bats, and all that. So.
And you have a facility, the shorebirds in particular, they need to be able to swim and fly. So yeah. that means you have to have a big facility for that.
Yeah, we have about, on our property, we have about 20 outdoor enclosures. And they vary in size from 30 feet long to 155 feet long. And so they're designated for specific species. So we have a pelican enclosure just for when we get pelicans in. We have an eagle enclosure for our eagles. And then we have our, what we call our pelagic pools, which is our seabird enclosure, which has four pools that are about 1,000 gallon capacity that are filtered 24 hours a day. And those are for our birds that spend all their time out in the ocean all year long. So we have specialized enclosures for each species we deal with.
Do you ever get puffins?
We do occasionally. Puffins are pretty rare for us. They just don't come into care that often. We get a lot of relatives of puffins. In fact, we recently got a parakeet auklet, which is a type of a puffin species. We get things called Cassin's auklets and rhinoceros auklets. Those are also puffin relatives. And then we get the occasional tufted puffin, but they don't come in that often.
And typically you receive a phone call from a member of the public. They have seen a bird that's been injured by, a power line, a car strike, something's, they're tangled in netting or something. I mean, what are the main reasons that the animals come to you?
I would say about 85% of our intakes at least are human caused issues, whether that's a hit by car or they ran into someone's, large picture windows. They got trapped in, like someone's bird netting, cat caught animals. We consider human caused because cats are not native. So about 85% are varying issues from car to cat or dog attacks. We also get the occasional, like this time of year, we get eagles that are in fights with other eagles and they end up crashing to the ground and hurting themselves. And we'll take those in. We get a lot of starving seabirds that we can't necessarily, that they're starving because they're not getting the food they need, whether that's human caused or not, we can't say because we're not out there doing that research, but we get a lot of starving. We get a lot of orphaned baby ducklings and birds this time of year, from various reasons as well, whether that's, the nest was disturbed in some way or, the mother duck was hit by a car or something like that. So.
Well, Josh, you are busy and you're getting busier, which is why you've had to actually get more staff. And the way that you're funded is obviously through grants, through donations, and the Bird-a-thon is coming up. So tell me kind of what the status is of the Wildlife Center at this moment in time and what your needs are right now, because you need volunteers too.
Yeah, so our organization has been growing each year since the passing of our founder in 2015. And so what that growth has looked like, when before our founder passed away, we had no paid staff. It was all volunteer run. And then, when she passed away, of course, I was hired on as the executive director as the only paid staff. And then we've slowly assessed our needs over the years and decided, determined what staffing needs we need. And so currently we have, two full-time people running our wildlife hospital, doing all the animal care. Two of us are full-time in the office doing everything from fundraising to donor relations to grant writing to just basically administering all the programs. And then we have a part-time volunteer coordinator and a part-time bird curator. So the bird curator's job is to train our educational ambassador animals, as well as help put on educational programming. And then I have two part-time seasonal summer camp coordinators to run our summer camps, and those are local teachers here. So yeah, as far as needs, I mean, it's always a struggle. I at least for our organization, I think it's more of a this kind of this area, kind of a rural area. We struggle to find volunteers, enough volunteers to run our programs. And so that's one need we always have is volunteers, financial support, donations of supplies. Those are, certainly three of our biggest needs because we are not state or federally funded. All of our funding comes from donations from people like you, as well as the occasional grant to help with special projects.
And you not only have to administer the programs, I mean, you have these summer camps, and now we're going to talk a little bit about the Birds of a Feather Spring Festival coming up too in a minute, but you also have ongoing maintenance on all the structures, and there's more need because as you have more human interaction with wildlife, more people going in places maybe they weren't before, you're going to have this kind of thing. Oh, we do want to mention, by the way, spring babies, maybe before we even talk about the Birds of a Feather Spring Festival. What do people need to know about finding babies in the spring?
Yeah, that's a good question. So this is the time of year that people are going to start seeing everything from fawns, running, following their mother around, to baby birds jumping out of the nest. So I guess the thing that we like to remind people every year of is, first of all, there's really not a lot of rehabilitation support in the state for fawns. There's just a lot of restrictions on how you can rehabilitate them and everything. But the other thing is, we get a lot of calls each year from people that find a fawn laying in their backyard by itself, no mother around, and they call us in a, frantically worried that this animal's been abandoned or orphaned. And that's usually not the case. So the does, the mother deer, tip will actually can leave their babies for 12 to 24 hours in one place. The babies are, they're instinctually know to stay in one place when mom leaves them. And that gives mama A a break, and B lets her go out and kind of do her own thing for a bit and come back. And she will come back and get the fawn. It's important for people to realize that the animal has to stay there. Let mom come back, give it a day. And if she's still not there, then you can call the authority, us or Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. So that's mammals. That's fawns, as far as a big high traffic, if you will, call we get. The other things are baby birds. So we get a lot of calls about birds, baby birds on the ground. The nest is up in the tree or in the eave or something. Big thing for people to remember is A, you can touch the baby bird and mom will still take care of it. So it's an old wives' tale that if you touch it, mom won't come back. So what we really try to do is if someone finds a baby bird on the ground still alive and they can see the nest and they can find a way to get to the nest to put the baby back in the nest. We are not as good at parenting baby birds as the mother bird would be. So we recommend trying to get that baby back bird back in the nest. And the other thing is, of course, if the nest is destroyed or if the baby keeps jumping out of the nest, there's obviously an issue. And then you can call us, and we will get that bird and raise it up. The other thing is, once we start getting fledgling birds in, which are baby birds that can't fly yet but have most of their feathers in, we get a lot of calls about people saying this bird is injured and can't fly. And we spend a lot of time on the phone trying to assess whether or not that's the truth. And a lot of the time it's a fledgling bird. So fledgling birds don't leave the nest knowing how to fly. They don't just jump out of the nest and fly off. Most birds spend 3 to 5 days on the ground before they actually learn how to fly, and the parents will take care of them on the ground. So when people see these little, mostly feathered little birds on the ground, again, we remind, you know, people will pick them up and bring them all the way to us, and we'll actually tell them to turn around and bring it back to where they found it, because mom and dad will come back and feed the baby on the ground. You know,
important thing that you're helping educate people, because people don't know. I mean, clearly if you find an animal injured, an injured bird, an injured yeah. animal, that's one thing, but you're right. Babies are a unique, you know, that's.
Yeah. And we get a lot of, you know, we get, you know, and then of course, one of the biggest things we hear is, well, there's cats in the neighborhood that will come hurt the bird, you know? And the thing we try to remind people is if we take that bird in, we can't teach it about cats, right? Because we don't have cats running around their enclosure, teaching them that they're dangerous. And if we took in every animal that was at risk of being eaten by a predator, we'd have every animal in the world in our facility. And so we can't control that. So we just recommend that people leave them be. The baby bird needs to learn what predators are in the wild and how to avoid them. Otherwise, you know, it's going to come to us and, you know, it's just going to have no experience in the wild. So that's why really parents make poor sub surrogates, with regard to teaching the babies vital skills like predators, because.
Exactly. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking with Executive Director of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast, Josh Sarampa. Josh has been with the organization for 14 years, the last 7 as the Executive Director. During that time, there has been a lot more need for wildlife rehabilitation and for education. So the organization is growing, and they have an upcoming Birds of a Feather Spring Festival. It was formerly just an open house, but this Birds of a Feather Spring Festival is happening on Saturday, May 14th and Sunday, May 15th at the Wildlife Center of the North Coast, about 9 miles outside of Astoria and Olney. And let's talk about this Birds of a Feather Spring Festival. Please tell us more about it.
Yeah, so our spring festival, this is going to be a really fun event. This is, like you said, formerly this was just our annual spring open house, which was our way of trying to raise the money to help, or raise money to help with our influx of baby birds in the springtime, baby animals. And so you're going to see the same thing at our spring festival this year. You'll see the same thing that you saw at our spring open house. We're still giving tours of our clinic. We'll still be doing our native tree and plant sale, still selling merchandise and some raffle tickets for some raffle baskets. But some things that are changing this year is we are also including about two per day. So two on the 14th, two on the 15th, educational little presentations with our double-crested cormorant education ambassadors, who's trained to do all sorts of different things. She's trained to take money from you and put it in a donation jar. But she's also got all sorts of different tricks that she learned. So there'll be two of those each day for the people to come in and sit down and enjoy this presentation. We're going to have some yard games. Everyone's heard of cornhole. We're calling it Battle for the Burrow. So we got some custom cornhole bags, and we'll have these cornhole boards so people can just kind of step aside and, you know, play some games with their family. We'll have a couple different kids craft booths for kids to come over and do some arts and crafts that are nature themed and benefit nature. So some bird feeder, you know, nature or all natural bird feeders and that sort of thing. And we also are gonna have Bowie Beer Company is actually donating like 6 cases of different beers to us. So we'll be handing out free drinks to those adults that are old enough to drink at this festival. Let's see what else. And then we're working hard to get a volunteer to do this, but we're hoping, and our plan is to have someone to do some face painting for kids and adults if you want your face painted. But
it's a family-friendly event, and it helps connect young people with wildlife and understand the really important work that you're doing there. And I also want to mention that if you want more information about the Birds of a Feather Spring Festival, you can go to the coastwildlife.org website, and that's coastwildlife.org. And also, you now have a registry. I mean, you've really, the website is amazing right now, and you've really changed it. So if you want to help wildlife, you want to help with educational things, connecting young people with nature, go to the Birds of a Feather Spring Festival, which is also the kickoff of the Birdathon fundraiser. You want to talk a little bit about that too?
Please? Yeah, and I wanted to also just kind of mention that this Birds of a Feather Spring Festival is a free event. So, you know, bring all your family. There will be plenty of opportunities at the event for you to donate to us, because it is a fundraiser where we are hoping to raise some funds to support our work. But the Birdathon, that's kind of backed by popular demand. That was a fundraiser we did years ago, and we used to do it every year. And we're bringing it back this year. So what it is it historically, we're kind of changing it a little bit this year, but historically what it was is it's kind of like a walkathon where, you know, people pledge money per mile walked. But in this case, people are pledging money per bird species, I guess, witnessed in the wild. And so you create a bird watching team and you get your own donors that are, you know, say they're going to donate, they're going to pledge $1 per species, and you're expecting 100 species, then that would be a $100 donation to the Wildlife Center. Or they can just do a flat rate, which this year we're kind of doing it just flat rate because we struggled to find a good method platform to actually do the different pledge forms. So we will have different bird watching teams. You can actually, we're working on putting that all together on our website right today, actually, where you can actually register a team and create your own team page through our website that you can direct your friends and family and team members and donors towards, and they can donate directly through a link that supports your team. And then there will be prizes at the end for the team that raised the most money for the Wildlife Center, and then prizes for the team that saw the most species of birds. And so it's a 24-hour event starting from at noon on Saturday the 14th and ending at noon on Sunday the 15th. And so, you know, you can always come in the morning, see our open house, and you can come in afterwards, afternoon on Sunday, and drop off your sheets and see who won. So it's should be a really fun event. It's a good way to get people out in the world looking for wildlife, get some teams together, have fun, come up with a, you know, fun team. I knew a team one year that went to all the wineries in town or in the in Oregon, and they called themselves the Red-Bellied Wine Suckers instead of the Red-Bellied Sap Suckers. And that they just sat at a wine tasting table and looked at all the birds flying by there. And so it's a good way to have fun with it, get your friends together and go outside and enjoy some birds.
Yes, yes. Wildlife speaks to our souls and connects us with something which is also wild within us. And birds especially, what would we do without bird song in the world? So that's a great idea. And I also want us to just again talk about volunteer opportunities, because you can be 15 years old with a guardian until you're 18, but there, people love volunteering there. And whether you're driving an injured bird, you know, to the center, or, you know, being part of a relay team, or let's talk about some of the things that the volunteers do, because I think we really want to try to get more volunteers to come and participate in all that you're doing at the Wildlife Center.
Yeah, that's a great point, Donna. So we have all kinds of different volunteer opportunities. And like you said, we do accept minors. So about 15, 16, you can start volunteering with a parent or guardian accompanying you to the Wildlife Center. And there are limits to what you can do at that age, just for liability reasons and danger risk. So the opportunities, you know, everything from direct hands-on animal care, right? So we need volunteers all the time. We'll train you in on everything from drawing blood to giving medications to holding these different animals, bald eagles, down to songbirds. But we also need volunteer help in the animal care support, which is laundry, dishes, and diet prep. You know, just coming in and doing a bunch of laundry this time of year. Which that job spends a lot of time outside spraying down towels. We have volunteer needs for transport volunteers, people that just need to come in and just drop off animals for us that we have all over the place. So there's all kinds of different volunteer opportunities, and we can work with you on what shift. You know, if you only come in one shift which is about 4 hour shift every 2 weeks. We can work with you and put you on the schedule for that. There's, yeah, you just reach out reach out to us.
Yes. And I just want to encourage people to go to coastwildlife.org because, and check out the registry, check out information on the Birds of a Feather Spring Festival. And Josh, we only have a few minutes left. What other things would you like the listening audience to know?
Gosh, there's so much. I guess just that if anyone's thinking that they have some spare time and are interested in possibly getting to know wildlife a little better, consider volunteering with us. Like you mentioned, go to our website, check out our registry. There's always supplies that we are always in need of that we have on our registry and our wish list. Or if you're feeling like making a donation, we can always use financial support to help fund caring for these animals. And then, of course, the last thing is just consider coming out May 14th and 15th to our spring festival. It's going to be a fun event. You can come learn firsthand what we do and have a good time.
And there are summer camps for children, which are very popular, by the way. And so people should probably register for those and go online right now, right?
Yeah. So our website has information on our summer camps that are happening. So we're doing grades 1 through 8. So there's camps for all those grade levels. So consider checking out our website and registering for those camps. They're week-long day camps. So.
Well, Josh, we would be so much poorer without all of the wildlife that we are very fortunate enough to interact with here on the North Coast and elsewhere in Oregon. And you all have a unique place in the world of wildlife rehabilitation and also education. So we're really fortunate to have you. Thank you for your dedication, for your love, for your service, for all that you've done over these years. Josh, really, I think we're so fortunate to have you. What a fine young man you are and doing work that benefits all of us. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Donna. And thank you for your support over the years too and for having us on the show.
Absolutely. So remember May 14th and 15th, Saturday and Sunday, Birds of a Feather Spring Festival at the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. And go to coastwildlife.org and you can sponsor a bird. You can look at the registry. You'll learn some things. It's a wonderful website. Thank you again, Josh. And thanks to all of you who listen to Talk of Our Towns, which is the first Thursday of each month at 9 a.m. Thank you, Nevada, for making this possible. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brun for his original theme music for this program. Well, until next month, but not until next month, how about right now? Let's all just take a moment to take a very deep breath together. It's such a healing thing for our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. So let's all just take a very deep breath right now. And then with gratitude, let's focus on the things that are going well. There are so many things that don't go well in the world, but there are also things that go well. And focus on those things and on the fact that you're doing the best you can as people are in these troubled times. And give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one, and for doing the best you can again, and for being here now. Now, the only moment that exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.